This is KZSC 88.1 FM, broadcasting from the University of California, Santa Cruz. My name is John Malkin, and the name of this program is Transformation Highway. Please take note that the opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers or artists only, and do not express the views and opinions of KZSC staff or underwriters or management or the staff and administration of the University of California, Santa Cruz. If you have any feedback regarding the content of this program, please contact the KZSC Program Review Committee at prc@kzsc.org. During the COVID-19 virus crisis, Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs continues to offer free meals and other support to the local unhoused population. Here are details about the days and hours that meals are served in downtown Santa Cruz from Food Not Bombs co-founder Keith McHenry. Volunteers and donations are needed. Check out foodnotbombs.net.
Yeah, so we serve every day at Front and Laurel Streets, which is diagonally across from the Walgreens. And Monday through Friday, we're there from 1 to 6. And Saturday and Sunday, we're there at 4. And then we cook at India Joe's on Saturday and Sunday right now from 12:30 to 4. And people have been just coming by with clothing and things like that. It would be good, though, if they could stay and help hand out the clothing because we can't have people do like we used to in the old days before COVID-19, where you can just pile up a bunch of clothes and everybody goes through it. And so we really have to read out the size of the item of the clothes and ask if people want it and then hand it to them, because we have this policy: if you touch it, you take it. And the clothes need to be cleaned and already been laundered before we get them, because we want to make sure that nobody is passing on COVID-19 to somebody.
Hey, this is Rush of Good Riddance. You're listening to KZSC.
Today you'll be hearing from Russ Rankin, lead singer with Santa Cruz punk band Good Riddance. Today, Good Riddance is releasing a 4-song EP to benefit the World Food Program. You can hear these 4 previously unreleased tracks and help alleviate suffering during this COVID-19 virus crisis by buying the EP at goodriddance.bandcamp.com. Here now is Russ Rankin of Good Riddance. Hey, thank you for making time. And strange times now. Thanks for just being available to talk.
No problem. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. So tell me, how are things going with you during this virus and when we're all sheltering in place? Are you in Santa Cruz, and how have your days been?
I live in Santa Cruz with my fiance, and what have we been doing? Just going for lots of walks, then playing my guitar a lot, then watching some performers that I like do like stage it shows, which has been kind of cool, and writing a little bit, sort of like writing music, new music, and also writing I write poetry and I write just random stuff like opinion pieces in case anybody wants one, because once in a while I get asked to write things, and if I have a cohesive thought or an idea, I usually try to flesh it out on the spot. And of course now we have nothing but time, so I've been doing that. And yeah, checking in. Like, I have a day job with Apple, and obviously that's, we're not going to work physically, so there's some like Zoom meeting download things that are happening during the week that I participate in. And really fortunate because Apple is still paying us all as if we were actually going to work. So really fortunate to have that going on.
What are you doing with them?
I work at a retail store in the Genius Bar.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And
I've been doing that for quite a while.
So you haven't been going there for a while, and they're paying you.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad on both counts that you're not having to go there, and that they're continuing to compensate all of you. Good.
Yeah.
The stuff that you're writing, poetry and music, is it having to do with this situation with the COVID-19 virus and being at home, or is it about other things?
No, nothing specific to COVID-19. It's just it's what I typically do, but during like normal times, like my schedule's really, really full, and it's a challenge to economize my time to make sure I make time for creativity and to like record things when they happen. But given like what's happened now, there's a lot of free time, and like, yeah, we're watching the fuck out of a lot of TV shows and stuff, but I don't want to just sit and watch TV the whole time. I want to make sure to get outside, and I want to make sure that I pay attention to the opportunity to be creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great time to take that space and be creative now. That's great. Do you have a way of recording stuff at your place?
Yeah.
Do you anticipate?
I demo stuff with Logic on my computer. I have a guitar and a bass here, and so I can plug in and use a virtual drummer. And that's how I've demoed good written stuff in the past. So if I get a good idea, I could do a lot of fleshing out with it just here at home, without needing to go to a studio or anything like that, which is pretty convenient.
Yeah, that's great. You mentioned that you're watching or listening to different music. Is there anything in particular that you're enjoying right now? We're all seeing that some musical artists are doing live solo things. All kinds of different people are doing that. Is that something you've done, or are you watching any of that stuff that's happening live these days?
Yeah, I've been watching one of my favorite songwriters is a guy named Rhett Miller. He plays in a band called The Old 97. And he's been doing there's a platform called Stage It where you can, you know, sign up to watch he's in his office with his acoustic guitar, and he has scheduled shows, and it's kind of pay what you can. Because a lot of artists are dependent on purely their income from performing, and those people are the hardest hit as far as the entertainers that I know. And so I've seen a couple of his shows. They're awesome. It's like pretty cool. It feels like I'm video chatting with Rhett Miller, and he's playing songs for me. It's pretty cool. It's an interesting platform for sure. It's an unusual way to watch bands, but it's becoming the norm, and I'm grateful that the technology exists where performers are able to still perform, because I think it brightens everybody's day a little bit if you're a fan of that person. And then it also, if you're in a position to, you can give them a little bit of money for performing more, because they can't be out on tour right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's a hard time for live performance, and you know, we're all learning more about what's happening every day. It's pretty weird. And it's also global, which is really strange. I mean, there's always been wars happening, somewhere, and there's always been illness happening somewhere, but then there's always been some place where it feels more safe than the rest of that, and it's just global, so it has this more intense quality. And I don't know if you want to comment on that, and also the future of live performance. You know, just I'm just wondering when it's going to be that we're going to be able to go to, you know, a place like the Catalyst or the Rio and dance around to a band like Good Riddance again. I'm not sure when that will be.
Yeah, I don't either. I think that, like everybody else, I try to like pick and choose the news, because it can get so overwhelming and there's a lot of misinformation. But even if there's some news that I saw that said that at least in California, maybe other places too, there's been a pretty significant drop in new cases, which is good news. But I also don't know that things will ever be, that people will ever feel the same about big gatherings until there's a vaccine for this. Because I don't know that it's like chicken pox where you get it and you can't get it again. Like, I don't know that that's the case. So I'd be happy when we get back to normal as far as day-to-day life. Which that could happen sooner than later, but I don't, as far as like large gatherings, really back to the way things were in that respect, it may be a while.
Yeah, it's just weird considering that. And then I don't know, like looking online now at video of punk rock concerts or Zakir Hussain playing tablas, or, you know, any gathering where people go and enjoy being there together, it has sometimes for me a little quality of sadness, knowing it could be a while that we'll be doing that again.
Yeah, I said same here.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, and all because people couldn't cook with animals. That's the worst part of it.
Say more about that.
The information that I've seen says that this came out of what's called a wet market, where animals are just cooped up and chopped up and slaughtered out in the open and sold to people. And as a vegan, like, that's just horrific on its own. But the fact that it could be the root of all of this is just really frustrating. It's like we're never going to learn.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to this that it makes a lot of the violence and the not intelligent choices that we've been making just seem even more terrible. Yeah.
It's like people in the McDonald's drive-thru on those damn Chinese with their virus and are getting ready to order a quarter pounder. Like, it's like, when are we going to get it? I don't know. It's kind of frustrating. But the big picture is like, it's happening. It's real. And so like, what do we do now? Like in this moment to get better and to try to spread awareness and to try to have some kind of positivity about it, because there's that, you know, it's like you can't put the genie back in the bottle. So that being the case, like moving forward, what can we do to be helpful, to help other people?
Yeah, and that's a powerful possibility in any crisis like this. People can come together and help each other. Of course, I noticed, and I'm not surprised that you and Good Riddance would do something like this, because you have done benefits for a lot of organizations, including Food Not Bombs. So you now, you've taken some songs that were left over from the Thoughts and Prayers album, and next week, April 16th, you're going to release an EP that's going to benefit World Food Program. Tell me about that project and why you did that.
Well, I think that a lot of times, you know, and I'm sure we're not the only band that does this, you go to record an album and you've got too many songs. So ideally for us, we want about 28 minutes of music to hold people's attention. And so if the songwriting period for me personally is particularly prolific, then there's going to be songs that are strong enough to where the band is interested in playing and recording them, but may not make the final 12 songs or whatever. Calling the leftovers, I feel kind of, it's kind of a kick in the teeth to them, but I definitely understand, like, they are in fact leftovers. Like, there was enough song, because a lot of times I'll come to the band with songs and they're like, you know what, we, for whatever reason, we're not feeling this one. And that one doesn't even get really practiced or recorded. So for a song to make it to the studio and to be recorded and mixed and everything, it's definitely in the running to be on the album. And then we coordinate, usually in our case, with Bill Stevenson, who produces us. He's really involved with our final sequencing. And so the songs that we ended up with, we've written 17 songs. And 12 on the album, so that leaves 5. And then 4 of those, what we wanted to do with those songs is we recorded them because, like after the sequencing, we're like, well, we can use these for split or B-sides or compilations or for something cool that comes along that we can be a part of. We've got something to offer, something new and unreleased. And it was Luke, our guitar player, who came up with this idea, which I think is really inspired, and he gets full credit for that, was to do something in the face of what everybody's going through, to make a difference as much as a band of our size can, but also to kind of brighten the days of our band, and to be able to help out as much as we can. So it was his idea. And we sort of brainstormed about it and decided to do the band camp. People can listen. One song is getting released each week. This week will be the last one of the 4. And then, as you mentioned, you can buy them all together. And then donating the money to an organization. And we looked at several organizations because we wanted to donate to something that would be, that's helping now in this crisis, but also was there before and will be there after, still doing good work. And we wanted something that was worldwide, not just focused on the United States or North America. And so doing that research, the World Food Program, they've helped about 91 million people at this point, and in about 83 countries. And they are also now using their resources to get medical equipment and medical resources to areas that don't have a lot of the infrastructure that other places do, which are dealing with this pandemic. So I thought that was actually really cool and timely.
Yeah, it's great. I appreciate Luke and you all doing that. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, we like to try to put our money where our mouth is most of the time, and we happen to be, have the means to release some unreleased new stuff, which is exciting if you're a fan, and then also to raise awareness about an organization that we feel pretty good about, and to help raise money. And one of the cool things that I heard from Fat, from our label, was that people are pre-ordering the EP. And a lot of people are paying more than what it costs, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is. I mean, I think there, again, these kinds of situations can bring out dark sides of humanity, but I tend to believe it brings out a little bit more of generosity and compassion. And it's good to hear people are doing that and even giving more than what's asked.
Yep. That made me happy when I found that out. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love your music, and I listen to these songs, the three that are available now, Illusion of Control and Hannibal Directive, Tempest Tossed. Does Good Riddance, do you have a tour or an album that now has been postponed?
Yeah, I mean, I had several solo shows booked this month, which were canceled or postponed, and then I had Good Riddance had a, we're going to play several shows in the sort of the East Coast, Great Lakes area, ending up in Montreal for Prusa Fest. And that's been postponed. That was in May. And then obviously Punk Rock Bowling is postponed till next year. That was also going to be in May, which we were going to be a part of. We currently have a European tour booked through June, which we're just kind of on hold with.
So the European tour in June might happen.
I try to be hopeful. It's, you know, like as we talked about, even if everybody says, even if the CDC says, like, hey, it's all good now, go to the movies, go wherever, like, I think people will be reluctant at first, and I don't know how many people will be wanting to go to festivals or big shows. So I'm not really sure. It's out of our control. Like, we, obviously, our European booking agent is going to make that call. Not up to us, really. And we'll go with whatever. I mean, we're so many bands, like people that I know personally, peers, are all in the same boat. So once things get rolling again, there's going to be a lot of shows. We say that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And I think you're right. I mean, the impact of this will be lasting, and I think people are going to be reluctant to go to big gatherings for a while, even if it seems kind of safe to do that. It'll just take a while.
I think I just know personally, just from the reality that we're living in now, it's shaken my consciousness to the point where I don't. It'll be weird to go, like, stand close to somebody in a grocery store line again, even if I don't think anything bad will happen. Like, it'll be weird to kind of go back to that. I mean, I look forward to it, but you know what I mean? It's like having had this experience, like, I don't think any of us can like forget it. I think it's gonna inform the way we interact socially moving forward, regardless of any kind of medical outcome.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that quite often. In a way, it's kind of, we're in this place now that I worried we would arrive at. I didn't think it would happen this way, but in terms of people spending more time alone, looking at screens and communicating in person less, that seemed like a bad trajectory. And I think you're right. It's going to take a while before, I mean, it's a weird sensation to be a little afraid of everyone.
Yeah, I don't think it's a positive. I think that, I mean, I'm kind of a germaphobe anyway. So a lot of the things that are being recommended now, I wish we would have been doing all along, but yeah, some of it is a little bit weird, and it's a little bit eerie. I don't want to be like the conspiracy theory guy. Like, I'm usually not that way, but I found it interesting how quickly we were all okay with these these restrictions. So hopefully that's not a, hopefully there's not somebody with bad intentions in a position of power watching this happen going, oh wow, that was easy to do. Like,
yeah, I'm concerned about that too. I mean, even the vocabulary, I mean, I get why it's safe and important for us to be having a certain distance between each other, but it bothers me to hear friends or other people saying, I'm in lockdown. Lockdown sounds like a place I don't want to be. And it, this is something I wanted to ask you about. And I talked to a musician who's a Native American, Diné Navajo guy, Klee Banali, who was in a band called Blackfire. They're a great Navajo punk rock band. The Ramones helped produce them. And now Klee, well, for quite a while, he's had a info shop and DIY center near Big Mountain in Arizona. And he still is making music. He had an album come out last year. And I was asking him about this, just that it bothers me that police in certain places, in Arizona they're doing this, and in Santa Cruz, police are giving tickets to people for being outdoors at the beach, or and all the trails have been closed and all that. And that kind of bothers me. You know, I again, like the logic of us being safe and not sharing this virus, and the goal being fewer of us getting sick and dying, that all sounds good. And it just bothers me that it's enforced by government and police. And Klee reminded me of it's also bothering him. And he's saying, look, here, the problem is the usual problem, using coercion to get people to do or not do something. That's the problem. It is safer that we keep a distance, and it is safer that we wash our hands, but maybe not so good to bring in police or military or authoritarian ideas now. I know it, tell me more about what you think about all of that.
I think there's two sides to it. I think if I'm trying to spin it positive, like I let's say I work for Gavin Newsom and I'm trying to soften the blow of this to the public, I would say that there were guidelines that were recommended and suggested, and most of you said, well, that's not for me. They're talking about other people, and you went ahead and did it anyway. And now look where we are. You leave us no choice. Like, nobody wanted to make a shelter in place mandate. Nobody wanted to give police the authority to hand out tickets. But because everybody, it's the same reason that people in a movie theater using their phone to text, they're like, well, I know they said that announcement, but they were talking about me. Like, I can do whatever I want. Humanity can always be trusted to just act like morons, in my opinion. So if I'm on that side of the equation, I could say, like, this wasn't mandated until you people refused to do it. So that's one thing. And I think it's valid because, like, I see even now, like, people going and, you know, groups of people and stuff hanging out, like, acting like nothing's wrong. People today are probably going to church all over the United States because they think God's going to keep them protected from this. So you can say, like, hey, this is happening. It's unsafe. Here's what the CDC recommends that we do. We really hope that everybody takes this to heart. And then you watch as people just continue to ignore it and do whatever they want to do and assume that the rules apply to everybody but them. And then you have to, you know, mandate it. if that makes any sense. Like, that's one side of it. The other side of it is every dystopian movie you've ever watched begins with things being done, quote-unquote, for your own good, to, quote-unquote, keep you safe. That's how every dystopian movie starts. And so it's a little bit eerie to me how quickly and easily all that went down. You could think, well, that's good because, like, if ever there was, like, a really another bad crisis, like, everybody's tuned in and everybody's knows the deal, and, like, quickly we're all parroting the narrative, the social distancing, the shelter in place, like, all these phrases and terms that now we all instantly know. So it's hard sometimes. You can look at it cynically or you can look at it pragmatically. But I think that there's two sides of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see those two sides too. I think there's another part where when something is happening, different people and organizations and powers might try to use it to their advantage, or not even advantage. Like there's people who are they're doing what they think is most helpful, but in the end some of that can be harmful. So I think you mentioned earlier that you're hoping authoritarian governments aren't looking at this and learning from it. I mean, there is journalism happening now saying they're not only learning, but there's authoritarian governments who are using this virus situation now to squash certain groups of people more, do more surveillance, do kind of the things that they wanted to be doing more of, and they're taking advantage of this situation.
Like it's a new 9/11. It's like Christmas Day for authoritarians.
Yeah, I'd on the bad end of the scale, I'd say yeah. And that's not new, that phenomenon. It's unfortunate, and like you said, like a weird dystopian movie, and we're in it.
I don't know about other places, but I know in California, like it's, I don't think that the order that came from the governor sounds more evil than it really is. Like I don't know anybody that's gotten a ticket for driving from point A to point B or anything like that. But I do think that these things are necessary when people just are selfish, and I think that's something that's uniquely American. This sort of like, well, that rules doesn't apply to me. Like, I'm going to do whatever I want. The inability to have any kind of concept of a social contract or like that what I do impacts people around me. I think Americans were not born with that gene. And so sometimes, like, this seems like to me like this all could have been like as drastic as this shelter in place law sounds, or even if the law, whatever it is, in order. As drastic as it sounds, it probably didn't need to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you on that for sure. I mean, it seems like Newsom has been really wise and hopped in at a smart time to really tell people to do this. And I think it's helpful. I mean, I don't know if you know anyone who thinks that they have this COVID-19 virus. I know of people, maybe five or six people who have it, and thinking most of them are in New York, one is in Spain, one is in Santa Cruz, but I don't know, like, 100 people. I don't know what your experience is.
I don't know anybody with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and these people I know are like you know, a friend's kid and a friend's mother, so some kind of removed, and, you know, and what you were saying reminds me, this thing that this attitude that Americans have, some people thinking freedom or democracy means doing whatever you want. That's unfortunate. There's this quote from the actor Peter Ustinov that I think I can remember. He said, he was being sarcastic. He said something like, democracy means being able to sit on my porch in my pajamas, drinking a beer and saying, where else can you do this?
Yep.
That's democracy in America. You're listening to an interview with Russ Rankin, lead singer with Santa Cruz punk band Good Riddance. I've done interviews with a bunch of interviews with Noah Levine and Joe Clements, and some of it having to do with meditation. And I remember you were in this movie about Noah Levine. And I'm just curious, like, considering how stressful this situation is, if you are finding any particular things helpful, meditation or yoga, or, you know, you mentioned creative work too. I know that's something I want to be doing these days too. But anything else, meditation or yoga or movement?
I have not. I think that I always aspire to practice that a little bit more as far as meditation. But I day to day, I either forget or I don't make it a priority. And so I've never really been a big meditation guy, the way that those other two guys you mentioned are. And I think that but I do know a lot of people who have, as this has transpired, like, are downloading meditation apps that they never would have even thought about before, and are practicing some sort of a meditation practice. So I don't doubt at all that it's beneficial, given the stress and given the, like, the interruption of life. Just me personally, myself, I haven't done much, mm-hmm. But I'm willing to if I start feeling the like I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, it's weird days. Hey, we were talking earlier about musicians doing performances online these days, and you mentioned your friend using StageIt. It seems, I never thought about this a month ago, but correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like there's not really the software or the technology to have 3 or 5 or 10 musicians performing online together from 10 different locations, like a band, and it coming across in one thing. It seems like these platforms that we have that are pretty great, and now everyone is using them, Zoom, Facebook Live, YouTube, it seems like as soon as you add in a second musician, the audio gets really wonky. Are you finding that to be, I don't know if you've explored that even or noticed that.
I haven't explored it. Like the when I watch Rhett Miller, it's just him with his guitar. But I watched a clip of Joan Jett of the Blackhearts playing a song from different locations. I don't know what they were using, but it was pretty cool. I know that a lot of other people have been doing that as well, musical and otherwise, and kind of presenting it publicly. But I'm not really checked out on what the latest software is or what the limitations may be.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'll check out Joan Jett. I'm finding that when it looks like it's a band doing something like the last couple of weeks, they have recorded their parts and then mixed them and then presented them together. But it might be that they figured out a way to do it. I'll check that out. Is there anything else you want to add? I'm really grateful to be able to talk to you during this time, and I'm happy that I'll be able to present your music on the radio, and hopefully that'll generate some money flowing to the World Food Program. That would be great.
That'd be awesome. Really appreciate that. As far as anything to add, I want to make sure that the origin of this particular virus and others comes from institutionalized sadism and abuse of animals, and that I would encourage anybody who thinks that this is inconvenient and no fun right now to consider the spark which ignited it and what their own participation is in animal agriculture, and that the insanity has got to stop, but we're gonna keep saying things like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for bringing that into the picture of what's happening. Thanks for talking, and wow, I'm gonna be thrilled to see you and Good Riddance playing on a stage again. And I take care of yourselves and enjoy what there is to enjoy. There's a lot of life to enjoy, and thanks for making time.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. You've been listening to an interview with Russ Rankin, lead singer with Santa Cruz punk band Good Riddance. Today, Good Riddance has released a 4-song EP to benefit the World Food Program. You can hear these 4 previously unreleased tracks and help alleviate suffering during this virus crisis by buying the EP at goodriddance.bandcamp.com. My name is John Malkin. This is Transformation Highway. You're listening to KZSC 88.1 FM, broadcasting from the University of California, Santa Cruz.
Hey, this is Rush of Good Riddance. You're listening to KZSD.